Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I'm here with John Harry Sharan as we begin our series called Interviews with the Master. The Master being John Harry Sharan. He is an expert in spiritual matters, an advisor to many of the great people, many of the people whose books you like to read, like Joe Vitale, Richard Bach, many others. And he is going to share with us in this series his ideas, his enlightenment, his profound spiritual knowledge that is going to guide us, going to enlighten us, and going to facilitate changes that we're working on making in our lives. So, John, it's an honor to have you here today.
It's my pleasure to be here, Steve. I enjoy talking about these things.
Well, John, I want to jump right in. And I understand that you have a lot of information about the law of attraction. In fact, in talking to you recently, you mentioned that there's sense and nonsense concerning the law of attraction, and you like to go into and beyond the law of attraction to find out why it seems to work sometimes and not other times. And I understand you have simple, practical tips that work with the principle behind the powerful law of attraction. So, John, I'd like you to jump right in and give us some information about that.
Okay, I have heard and been thinking about the law of attraction ever since that book came out, which was called The Secret, and caused a revolution on Earth. This is wonderful because although it did it at a certain elementary level, it got everybody to start looking at what we call laws of nature, laws of the universe, and so forth. And they came up with the secret is the law of attraction. Now, I think I could have said the secret is the law of gravity, or the law of thermodynamics, or the law of rocketry. It wouldn't have mattered because each one is really as simple or as mysterious as the other one. So what happened here was people just took parts of the law of attraction. Now, there are all kinds of laws you have to remember. In the universe, there may be so many laws that we'll never in this lifetime be able to understand them all. And yet, if they're bundled together and understood in their relationship to one another, we will come up with, well, maybe they're not 1,000 laws. Maybe there are just 443. Three, or maybe there are just three, or the highest way of looking at it is maybe there is just one law called the law of oneness. When you become one with something, you are that thing. This is almost Zen in its way. So the law of attraction has helped a lot of people. It does work, but it has confused a lot of people also. See, in the law of attraction, they say your thoughts bring things to you. Well, there are a number of people I have known in my younger days that if thoughts could kill, they would be dead. The law of attraction, thank God, did not work for that. And why didn't it work if it always works? Well, there are very simple reasons for those too. Your thoughts do create things. You do attract things after their kind, but our thoughts have become like prayers or meditation. Take, for example, for those who are familiar with what is called the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We say it and we don't feel it. And when we do that, it's like gargling, it's like meaningless. How many times we all say things and we don't even remember what we just said? It's not the words. It's not the thought, or we can't say the thoughts make it happen. It's the feelings behind the thoughts. Because anything that we think of, if we feel very, very strongly about that thing, we will start pulling that thing towards us. And that is what the law of attraction is. And although it was explained clearly by friends like Joe Vitale and many others, even very well-known people. For example, I saw Joe on Larry King's show. And one of the things, he was there a number of times, and one of the things Larry King said was, "This thing really works?" Of course it really works. It's like I'm sitting here on this chair and I'm thinking, well, you know, somebody wrote a book called The Law of Gravity and how to make it work for you. Well, it's simple. I'm sitting in this chair. It means that the law of gravity is working for me. Even if I fall off the chair, the law of gravity is working for me. If I climb the highest building and say I'm going to defy the law of gravity and I jump off, I haven't defied the law of gravity. I have just proven the law of gravity. See where I'm coming from, Steve? We interpret this thing.
John, that's really fascinating. And, you know, I've thought a lot about that in recent years, especially. Can you share with us some other concepts concerning that?
Well, certainly, Steve. That's wonderful. But here are a few other things that may illustrate this a lot better. The law of attraction is the law of attraction. It says that in the world of mind, like attracts like. So if we are thinking great thoughts, we will attract other thoughts and ideas that are great. And then we have to do some work to make it happen. The problem with the nonsense I refer to about the law of attraction, someone sits down and says, I've been trying to attract this thing, and it's not coming to me. I don't know what to say about that, except there is a little something missing there, and it's called taking action. Because an acorn will become an oak tree. It's destined to become an oak tree. It's written into its very genetic makeup to become an oak tree. But if you don't do something with it, if you don't put it into the ground, or if it doesn't fall in fertile ground, it'll never become an oak tree. So with the law of attraction. So with the law of thermodynamics, which works in all the cars we drive these days, or so far until we find a better way. It's like heat and expansion and gas laws and all kinds of laws. Now, for me to drive my car, I don't have to know one little thing, not one little thing about the laws of thermodynamics, not law 1, 2, or 3. For me to be able to breathe, I don't have to know anything of what we call the gas laws, and there are those. See, my background is as a scientist, Steve, and so I like to relate those things to show people we do not need to know that. I don't need to know how the half-wave rectifiers and whatnot our television sets have, or our computers. I don't have to know any of that stuff. In fact, I don't know much of it. All I know is when I want to, like we're talking now, all I had to do was to press a few buttons, and there we are, in almost instantaneously connected, just like the law of thermodynamics. Don't have to know that. I go into my car, I take this little thing called the key, I turn it, and I just move. I put it in drive and I just move. I don't have to worry about what's happening under the hood. Actually, I know very little of what's happening under there also. I know there's a thing called a battery, and I'm sure there are other more complex things in there, but I don't care about them. That's their problem. They do the work. I drive the car. The law of attraction, we do the attraction using those laws, just like I drive the car. And when we are afraid of things, we attract them to us. When we love things, we attract them to us. When we are quiet about things and we're thinking clearly, the thoughts generate certain emotions which energize something in the universe. Or let's put it this way, it energizes the law of attraction. It makes it work. But if I sit back and say, you know, I want to win the lottery tomorrow, or I want to win the lottery next week, there's no feeling in that. There's no knowing. So we've got to go beyond the simple surface value and surface effects of the law of attraction to what's happening underneath, because strong emotions will make it happen. And I know some of the people listening to this will say, what's he talking about? As you noticed, about strong emotions. They are necessary to activate this law, so to say. If you were sitting still on a rock and not moving at all, well, you might say the law of gravity doesn't work. But if you're sitting on the rock and a bird flies overhead and something falls on you, you know for sure that the law of gravity is working, even though when you were sitting still on the rock, it didn't seem like it was, but you were held on that rock by the law of gravity. And everything we see in our world, everything that's here, everything comes because we attract or we bring that thing to us. Now, let me clarify that a little. I don't think any of us could say everything, like totally everything. I'd say most everything, because there are other forces at work that we really don't know that. And that might be, I think, Steve, that might be topic for another talk, okay?
But that would be great, John. We'd love to have you back for many interviews.
Well, thank you. So In the future, we'll talk about some of that, but let me stick with the law of attraction and tell you a few little simple things about it. First, it is a law. It's a universal law. It works. Whether we think it does or not, it works. The way we can get it working for us is to look at some things under us. You know, Steve, there are times when people are so afraid of things that they're almost paralyzed with fear.
Absolutely. I've seen many of my patients in that situation.
Yeah. When that happens, you become a bundle of emotions. All it's doing, it is activating the law of attraction, but it's doing what, if we were to go to the good book, the one we call the good book, the Christian Bible or the Jewish scriptures, we will find in one of the books, I think it's called Job, where this guy, Job, was like so rich and powerful and everything else, and then one day he lost everything. Everything, and he was sick, and he was covered with sores, and then he went outside, and he stood up, and he looked up, and he said, "The thing that I feared most has come upon me." See what I mean there, Steve? He had that within himself all the time. Although he was successful in everything else, he was afraid of loss, scared that he might lose everything. So when he did lose everything, he clearly said, "The thing that I feared most has come upon me." It is just as simple to reverse that and say, "The thing that I loved most, I've gotten it. It has come upon me." So it's a matter of perspective. It's a little matter of training. You know, we talked a little bit about cars earlier and the law of thermodynamics, or the laws, there are three of them, of thermodynamics. Well, and I mentioned I don't have to know about those laws. I could just get in my car and drive. Here's the thing, Steve. If I didn't learn how to drive, it would have been really, really very difficult to do that. But once, and learning to drive has nothing to do with the law of thermodynamics, the laws of thermodynamics. It had to do with doing some things, taking certain actions, being careful, learning certain things. When you put your signal to the left, you don't turn to the right. You realize that green lights don't mean stop, and red lights don't mean go, and you learn a few simple things. Still nothing to do with the laws of driving or the laws of thermodynamics, but it's similar to that of the law of attraction. Wouldn't you say you need to know a few things?
Absolutely, and understanding any technology is going to be very powerful, I think.
Yeah, so this is just like learning something else. So we have to spend a little time learning the basics of what makes it work. Remembering, when I'm very afraid of things, I can cause those same things to come to me. I mean, I know I've had some of those happen a lot more than I like. Also, when I'm very comfortable and I am not afraid, but I'm excited about some other things, those other things will happen. We are just working within the law of attraction.
So you're saying that we can attract positive things or negative things. The law of attraction doesn't necessarily care, but if we put it out there, if we put fear out there, we'll get a negative result back. If we put happiness and belief out there, we'll get a positive result back.
I love that. That's exactly what I'm saying. You see, in this room I'm sitting right now, Steve, there's a light switch, and the light switch controls the lights in this room. And one of the ancient rishis or the pope or a really good person or can come and flip that switch on and the lights will go on. You agree?
Yes.
If there's electricity.
Right.
Here's the other thing. Let's say Jack the Ripper came and he flipped that switch. I have never thought that the switch is going to stop and say, "Look, we don't go on. I don't put on lights for guys like you." It's what the law of attraction is like. It doesn't stop you saying, "Hey, don't think about that thing because it's not going to be good for you." That's another talk we'll go into about how we do that, how we get the guidance of what. But the whole thing is you got to watch your thoughts, not like you sit down and you watch for a fish while you're fishing. You don't want to put any pressure. You just have to become aware at the moment of the things you're thinking about. You think that was clear enough there, Steve?
Absolutely. I think that makes perfect sense. I think that I love your story about Jack the Ripper, because that really brings it home, that the fact that the law of attraction isn't really looking at certain things. It's just doing what it's supposed to do. It's just the law, just like electricity. And I love that. It's going to flow no matter what you set in motion, no matter who sets it in motion, it's going to flow. So that really hits it home for me.
Yeah, well, you see, the law really doesn't care. Anyone can do it, just like anything else. It doesn't really care. It's up to you. It's like here again, we go into the car thing. Notice I like to use cars because most people drive, or I think they do. Cars that have power steering, and most of them these days have. You get into the car and you make a left turn, and the power steering mechanism works to turn left. I don't remember a car that has said to me, "Hey, John, hold it. I don't feel like going left today, so I'm going to go right." See how we can simplify this whole law of attraction? People are so scared of it, Steve.
Right. I think you're right. And I think they think they're dealing with some kind of dark force, or that they're not worthy enough. They have all these misconceptions about it and how it might not work, rather than just realizing that they're really living under its effects all the time.
Yeah, like gravity. I mean, I don't know anybody here on Earth who escapes the law of gravity while on Earth.
No.
Okay.
Very, very good point. So it's something that's constantly with us.
It is there. It is always there. The laws were set. It's like breathing. We don't think about the air we're breathing. We don't have to. Well, there are exceptions to everything. If you're in a very polluted area, you'd better. But generally, you don't have to think about it. It happens automatically. The only time you notice this is if you stop breathing or somebody makes you stop. Then you find out there's a great need for air. But you can't do that with these universal laws. They will work all the time. Now, do you mind if I tell you about laws and higher laws?
No, I wish you would, John. Enlighten us. Bring us the information that you have. If we could just put a some kind of a tube in your brain and extract all the information. That's really what I want from this. I want you to bring forth everything you've got and just enlighten us and fill us full of your knowledge.
Oh, that'll only take about 3 minutes, Steve, but I'll continue nevertheless.
I doubt that. That'll be a long 3 minutes.
Okay, here's this thing. We just talked about the law of gravity, the law of attraction, and the law of thermodynamics. I'm using those because they're the common ones. And again, I use some of these science things because I was trained as a scientist, okay? And I like some of the things that happen there. But although we have the law of gravity, there is a higher law that doesn't overcome gravity. Now, I'm going to say this a little slowly because I think this is a very important point. It doesn't overcome or negate the law of gravity, which always works, but it supersedes it. It goes above it. It's called the law of flying, the law of aerodynamics, where an airplane, you see, the law of gravity makes us think that anything heavier than air will fall to the ground, okay? Is it
Right.
simple enough?
Yes.
Okay. Anything heavier than air will fall to the ground. So what about an airplane? It certainly is heavier than air. It weighs tons.
Right.
So it should fall to the ground. But the law of aeronautics works within the law of gravity to make that thing fly. We're not contradicting ourselves when we say there are higher laws. Now, that airplane couldn't fly to the moon even if it wanted to, because there is no atmosphere between the Earth and the Moon except for the few miles up here on Earth. And airplanes need air. That's why they're called airplanes. Okay? They
Okay.
need air for the wings to cause this to happen. So, yet, we have sent men to the Moon. What is it we're dealing with there? We're dealing with the laws of rocketry, which means every action has an equal and opposite reaction. The blowing out of that stuff out of the tailpipe, if you will, of the rocket creates a force that pushes it with or without air directly to the moon or into orbit or wherever. You see, so that we can say, hey, rocketry disproves the law of attraction. We can say planes disprove the law of gravity. And attraction, by the way, is gravity attracts you to the Earth, okay? Or these bodies to each other. See the similarity there? What is gravity but something pulling against something else, an attractive thing? or like our old friend Joe Vitale would say about things, the attractor factor. Got it there?
Absolutely.
I got to remind him that I said that about his attractor factor, which, by the way, is a fantastic book. And so we have different levels of these things. Now, you might say it to me, Steve, and I hope you don't, but I know you might be thinking it. Can we talk again about the simplicity of the law of attraction?
Absolutely, John. You know, if we can keep things simple so that I can understand them, I know that that we're on the right track. That's what we want to do. So I know you've got a lot of very powerful, lofty, wonderful ideas. And yes, that's the absolute point of the interviews that I want to do with you, to keep it as simple as possible. So if you could bring it back down for us, that'd be great.
Okay, great. Because sometimes you got to stop me. I get away with these things, Steve. For me, they are so exciting. So let's forget about planes and trains and buses and cars and thermodynamics and gravity and all the other things and go to a simple thing. Look, folks, you don't have to worry about any of that. Just like you don't have to worry about how your TV works or how your microwave works or how the light switch works. If you did that, you'd go nuts. You don't have to worry about how the law of attraction works. You have to know just a few things about it. The sense of it. It's a universal law. It's been there forever. It had to be, because I've never heard people complain about it. It's just recently, in the past decade, it seems like people discovered it, and it did a good thing. It opened up people's minds into a new reality, so to say. And as you look at the law, you say to yourself, how can I really use this without getting so involved with techniques? And you sit back and you say, John did mention fear. If I can deal with my fear, if I can deal with my emotions. You remember that, Steve? We talked about those earlier.
Yes, very important concepts.
If we can deal with those things, then the law of attraction would work in our favor. If we find that, you know, I have always maintained there are three problems on earth: money, health, and relationships. So let's take relationships, for example, because I know nobody who is listening to this tape would have a relationship or ever had a relationship problem.
Of course not.
So let's say boy meets girl, or boy meets boy, or girl meets girl, or whatever it is these days. And there is this mysterious thing we call an attraction, a love. This guy likes this girl, for simplicity, I'm not going through the guy, girl, guy, ours will spend the whole time doing that. Let's assume a guy and a girl love each other, but the girl loves the guy a little less ardently than the guy does, and he is now scared that he's going to lose her, that something's wrong with him. And I think you mentioned this earlier, Steve, for whatever reason, could be low self-esteem, right? Or feeling, and this is something that's very, very important, feeling that you are not worthy. He feels he is not worthy of her. Guess what? She picks up on that. Now she keeps thinking, you know, maybe he's not worthy of me. Maybe I don't love him that much. And he keeps thinking more, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose her. Guess what happens? An energy is created around them that repels them from each other. Boy loses girl. But if boy or girl is, one of them is confident, the other picks up on that, and they stay together and they live happily ever after. Law of attraction. They're attracted to each other. They're at a certain level of thinking. They are not thinking fear thoughts or horrid thoughts of love lost. Does that make sense, Steve?
That makes perfect sense. I think that's going to make sense to everyone listening as well. Very, very well put, John.
So that is the simple thing about the law of attraction. Ignore the law of attraction. Don't focus on it. When, again, to go back to the car thing, when you're driving your car, you're not, unless, of course, there's something major, it's making a lot of sound, and then you will be distracted. But when you're driving, let's say, a decent, good car, you don't sit back and wonder how the things are turning in it and which way they're going and how the valves are working. No, don't worry about the law of attraction. It could take care of itself. It did long long before any of us got here. So what do? We use it by getting ourselves into a place where we can diminish the fear we have in us about something happening, where we can get rid of anxiety for even a few moments and let the law do its thing, which calls for trust. You gotta trust the law. You don't believe, you gotta trust. Notice we're coming back to simple things, Steve, like trust, dealing with awareness and fear, right?
Yes.
They said, don't worry about the laws of any of these laws anymore. Just watch how you fear, what you love, what you're anxious about, what you're concerned about. Don't sit down and think, I am going to use the law of attraction and I'm going to make this thing happen to me.
That's great, John, because I think a lot of people wonder how are they going to take this technology and make it theirs, and how, and they get really nervous about it. You know, how am I going to take this and make it happen? So I appreciate you cutting through all that.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about that. We just have to get to the point where we make ourselves quiet and we start looking at what we're feeling. And then as we feel calm and comfortable, our thoughts will start going out, looking at our entire world and saying, you know, Jane loves John. Therefore, Jane is going to bring somebody to her who will be just like John, or John himself, or vice versa, and they will meet and they will live happily ever after. You know, that's fairy tales, by the way. But it does work that way many times. Fairy tales do come true. And the law of attraction was used by the ancient rishis of India, by the gurus and many of the swamis and yogis. I have been privileged to know some of the masters of the Far East and talk to some of these people, and they don't worry too much about the law of attraction. If I can give one little thing about the law of attraction, is this: let the law work.
That's well put, John. I think so many people get caught up in trying. And of course, when we try, what we do is we set ourselves up for failure. That's what we do when we try. When we just do, or when we just let it be, then that's so much more powerful. And as a hypnotherapist, I come across this all the time, because I'll have clients in the office who are trying to be in just the right state of hypnosis and trying to get themselves in that Zen-like trance. And I tell them all they have to do is sit there and just relax, and I will take it from there. It will just happen to them.
Oh, that's a nice way you put it, because it's the same thing with this. I like the part where you say, when you talk about trying, you're setting up yourself for failure. And I remember an example I use sometimes. It's like I say to audiences every once in a while, look, here's an example of how this thing works. Try not to think of the word hippopotamus. And then I shut up. I'm right. Quiet for about 30 seconds. And then I said, what were you thinking? How many of you were able to stop thinking about hippopotamus? And in every group, you know, Steve, there is always one person who said, I wasn't thinking about it, but it was a big one, you know, stuff like that. But if you try to do it many times, you create an equal and opposite force. So we don't, I think in one of the Star Wars episodes, you had the Yoda saying, don't try, do or not do. Do the thing. Don't even worry about trying. And if you are okay within you, if you're working with the universal laws, which you always are working with, by the way, you will be led to take the right action. The law of attraction can't help itself but to work with you. But too many people are studying it as if they are examining it under a microscope. It's nothing more to be examined than to use it. It's a tool. It's a law. We can become get into what they call the paralysis of analysis by trying to learn everything about something.
I fully agree with that. And just like you were saying about gravity, it's going to happen whether you think about it or not. And people get so caught up in the concept of having to struggle for things and having to make this happen and make this work, and they work against themselves. And I see this all the time with my clients. They just get so caught up in trying to get money or trying to get a relationship that they work against themselves, when all they really have to do is live their lives, do what they do to the best of their ability, be themselves, their authentic selves, and money comes to them because they'll be doing what they love to do, and relationships come to them because people see them doing what they love to do and they're drawn to that, and everything works out. but it's this anxiety that everyone gets when they're so caught up in their lack and they want so badly, so desperately to fill that void that they actually end up undoing what they're attempting to do.
What they're trying to do actually here, Steve, and I love how you put that because it couldn't be simpler than what you just said. And what the part that's very important here is people try to make things happen instead of allowing things to happen. It's like they're watering their garden and standing on the hose, or they're rowing away from the shore and their boat is tied to the dock. They gotta just relax, look around them, take a quick inventory of what's happening, and then just choose. That's all we got to do. Choose to go another direction.
That's powerful, John. So you're saying that all it takes, essentially, at its core essence, is for us to choose. Now, I imagine that in that choice, in that decision making, in that moment that we do choose, we've got a lot going on. We're invoking a lot of powers, and we're calling on the law of attraction to say, "This is what's going to happen now. Get behind me and make it happen." Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that's a very good description of the whole thing. Because long, long ago, like a few decades ago, I wrote a book called When You Can Walk on Water, Take the Boat. And somewhere in the introduction or preface or somewhere, I said, our greatest job on earth is to make choices. We only have to choose. And I've had people who say to me, well, there was no other choice. And I've studied that situation over the years and said, you know, there's always another choice, always something else that could be done. And our job is just to choose one or the other. And sometimes there are many choices. And it's not really like even making a decision, because I remember one of our great writers by the name of Eric Butterworth. Eric passed away a few years ago and went into the greatest adventure that awaits all of us. And once he says, you know, John, decisions are not to be made. They are to be discovered. And then you let the decision make you. Now, I don't know how meaningful that would be to people. But to me, it was a lot. It was very meaningful because it meant that I didn't have to even force the choice. And that's another thing we'll talk about in one of these segments, how we get into ourselves and the choice. You're going to like this, Steve. The choice chooses us.
John, that is very powerful.
Let the choice make you. A gentle desire. Notice the word desire. For the first time in this conversation, I brought it up because it's very important. It's like a wisp of a desire. And then if we get real quiet, we'll talk about this at length some other time, and we will feel within us where to go. We would make a choice, and after we make the choice, we have then activated the law of attraction. We have set the whole thing in motion, and all we got to do is sit back and enjoy the ride.
That's very well put, and I love the way that that takes the anxiety out of it and the work out of it, and just really gets us in tune with the concept that this is something that happens naturally.
It is a natural thing. It's built into us. It's as natural as breathing, having our hearts beat. And it's as natural as anything we could think about.
That is a beautiful concept.